Amen. We're in Romans 6 and 1, and I'll tell you this again. Our class finishes when we finish the book of Romans. What? Oh, you mean the one from Hebrew? When I can get it done and printed, I'm still working on it every day. I work on it 2 or 3 hours a day. And I'm not very far from the end. Yeah. I want to get all... What I'm doing a little differently than I did before, when I printed the other Hebrew, I did not write the pronunciation. We pronounced it in class. This time I'm writing all that in and doing a lot more things to make it a little easier for the class so they can follow me faster. And we're getting into a lot of the words that are really good. anyway, I'm trying to do that. We'll go through the book of Romans and we'll just keep on going until we're finished with Romans. I think I did about 250 classes in the book, the Gospel of John. And we never did get to the end of it. We did 96 classes in the book of Revelation from Greek. 28 classes in 1 Peter, I think, 32 in 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And we've done a lot of classes here. And you've been through most of them, haven't you, Randall? Quite a few of the classes. When you get in, when you stay in Greek, Cindy, you're already coming along really well. You're applying yourself. I can tell that. Rebecca has been in here at least 3 years,
three or four years.
Okay, you're coming along. Randy can read Greek and Hebrew, and you just hang in the class for a while, and it's just you're going to absorb it, according to how much you study at home. Now Marilyn never studies at home Greek, but she can just sit here and read Greek because she's been in the class. I've always told people, you stay in a class 3 years and you can read Greek. And you won't know how it happened. Rebecca, do you get to study at home? Huh?
No.
Okay. But you can read the Greek. You can read because you've been in a class.
Do you understand what you're reading?
Well, the words are so much similar to English. You will, yes. You will understand what you're reading. By the time you get 3 years in the class, you will understand what you're reading. You will not... And what I'm teaching here in this class is advanced reading and research in Greek. This is the same thing you would have got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago in Greek in the seminaries, because I was doing it then. Now, as my students that have gone to the seminary say, they're teaching baby Greek in the seminary. They only begin the basics, just grammar, a couple of years, or a few semesters, 2 or 3 semesters maybe. And that's the end of it. Advanced reading and research, I don't know anyone that's teaching it. Any seminary, as far as I know.
Dallas Theological?
I think they're teaching 1 or 2 years of grammar. And Hebrew, they give you 1 or 2 semesters and that's it. They just turn you loose. What you get, you get. I'm trying to teach you Greek and Hebrew at the same time, a little bit. Because it's extremely important. We have... we're going to do the book of Genesis. We've done 11 chapters and so far. And are you studying that at home, Cindy? No, not yet. And there's 41 classes on the website that you can study and follow along in that. Okay? Mike Green in the Marines, he said, I'm studying Hebrew. I'm learning Hebrew as I'm studying your classes. It is very good. And do you believe the Bible? All right. I believe the Bible is inspired of God. I believe it's God-breathed in the original languages only. The guy got in an argument with me the other day and said, I believe the Bible is inspired in English. And I said, boy, you really are off the beam. You just lost it, fella. The Bible is in Greek and Hebrew. Some of it comes over into English and everything, but it is inspired in those languages. Now, so much has been, we've been exposed to so many translations and everything, and since the King James is so powerful, it has carried some misconceptions and mistranslations through all the translations, because many of them are afraid to take a stand and say what it really says. There are so many people today that think that they are standing upon the Word of God. That's one thing we're going to get into tonight, and it's not. There's nothing there to stand upon. They're off on the wrong beam. Okay? We're starting in 16:1, but I want you to go back to Exodus 15 and verse 4 for just, we're going to look at one verse, and we're going to look at some words in Greek and Hebrew. Okay? The Septuagint, of course, is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. Now, I want someone to go to Exodus 15 and verse 4 in King James. Yeah, we're going to go to the Episcopalian Bible. Have you got it, Cindy? Okay. And do you have it there? And what do you you've got Amplified? And
well, I have the Amplified, and then I have the
New King James. Okay, let's go over there. Let's look and see what some of the different translations said. We're even going to look in the column. Okay? We're going to look in the columns also of your study Bibles at this. At Exodus 15 and verse 4. Exodus 15 and verse 4. Okay? Let's look at that. Exodus. Exodus. Exodos is what it comes from in Greek. All the Old Testament books are named from Greek, not from Hebrew, because of the Septuagint. Did you know that? Genesis comes from Genemai. Genesis, or Genesis. Okay, it does not come from Barashith. Barashith is the Hebrew. It doesn't say Barashith. Now, in Hebrew, the Hebrew Bible does. All right? Cindy, what do you got there?
New King James.
No, King
James. Just the
regular. The old King James.
Pharaoh's chariots and his host have been cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea.
Okay. What do you have over there, Rebecca?
Amplified?
In the Amplified. Let's see what the Amplified, because I didn't look at the Amplified. I'm going to see what that says.
Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also sunk in the Red Sea.
The Red Sea. Oh, boy, we're going right along. We're doing all the same things. It says Red Sea there, doesn't it?
It says Red Sea.
Okay, it says Red Sea. Now, what are your second?
Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he has thrown into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea.
Okay, does anybody have a study Bible with you? You've got your study Bible there, don't you? Isn't that King, New King James, the study Bible? Exodus 15 and verse 4. Look over in the column and tell me what it says there. If it does, where it says Red Sea. Where it says Red Sea there.
Mine doesn't have all the columns.
Oh, it doesn't have the columns. All right. Okay. So, you're right here close to me. Over here in verse 4. This is the New American Standard. Would you look over there to the side and just tell me what it says over there? It's number 4. Do you have that, too? Aha! Sea of Reeds. Sea of Reeds. Now, I've heard so many people, a guy, he went over there, one of my friends went over to the Holy Land Tours, and he went down there. Of course, I have, too. But, you see what it says? What's it say? Sunk instead of drowned in the sea of reeds. All right. Now let's look and see what it says in Hebrew. All right. Now, do you think that they crossed in the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds, or they crossed into the other land when they crossed through the water? Okay. Now, in Hebrew, it says, Hayom Sof. All right? Now, Brother Randall, there in the book of Gesenius, there's in Gesenius' Hebrew lexicon, on page 58 there, I think it is. Is that what it is, Gesenius? About 581.
Page 581?
Uh-huh. What's it say down there? Sof. Sof.
Brush, reed, seaweed. The
etymology
is not known, and it cannot be derived from the verb.
All right, goes into a lot of other languages. Basically, sooth is reed.
Seaweed, or
says down here, the Weedy Sea.
Okay. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, they didn't cross there because Pharaoh's armies couldn't have drowned in the Sea of Reeds. Do you believe God can do miracles? God could have drowned Pharaoh's army in a cup of water. Period. The water stood up on the ends. They gelled when they walked through there. But
the geology of the area may have been totally different back then.
Yeah. But it says in the Hebrew, Sea of Reeds. Now over here in the Jewish Publication Society, that's their little Bible here, okay. It says, Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the pick of the officers are drowned in the Sea of Reeds. The Sea of Reeds. Now, where did we get the Red Sea from? Where did we get the idea that Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea? Where did that come from? Let's look at the Septuagint. Remember, it doesn't say that. Now, King James borrowed it from the Septuagint. They didn't take it from the Hebrew, did they? What? Now let's look at this. Can you read the thing? Can you read the little bit? I'm not Hebrew, but Greek a little bit. Okay. Can you see that word out there? Can you read that? Can you see what it says
right there?
A urethra. And then Salathe. All right. That means the Red Sea. A urethra means red in Greek. Okay? So in the Septuagint, it says Red Sea, but it doesn't say that in the Hebrew Bible. Now, what is the Old Testament original was written in Greek or in Hebrew?
Hebrew.
All right. So if we have it in Hebrew, then we probably ought to trust it in Hebrew, huh? Now, in Gesenius on page 581, now the word urethra, that's the word right here. That's what we're looking at. Urethra on the New Testament Analytical Greek Lexicon is on page 167. Okay? 167. That's it right here. Page 167. Now, Rebecca, what does it say right there?
Red.
Okay, that's simple as that. Red? Is that right? Red? What does it say that's red?
Oh.
Red. Okay. That means red. Urethra. Okay. Now, what is the word for reed in Greek? It's not urethra. That means red. Reed is kolomos. Reed, page 298 in the Septuagint Analytical Lexicon and page 210 in the Greek Analytical Lexicon of the New Testament. Okay? Page 210. Well, look at that. I should have put them up there to the camera also. I'll do that this time. Kolomos. And the kolomos, that means reed. Okay? Right back here, Brother Bill. Kolomos. What is that?
It's just reed cane.
Uh-huh. Reed.
Yeah.
It's a reed. All right. We'll... Cindy, what do you think about that right over there?
So how do you change?
Kolomos. Kolomos, right there.
So how do you change?
Read.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How do you change
that? What?
How do you get changed from
the Septuagint? The writers of the Septuagint changed it from the Sea of Reeds to the Red Sea.
Why?
Who knows? That was 300 B.C. nearly. Okay? So, it's not Red Sea, really. Now,
do they know where the Reed Sea is today?
Over there?
Sea of reeds.
There are people that take, there's, you know, how many Mount Sinai's are there? 22 Mount Sinai's, I think. You know, things have changed. The earth just shifted, didn't it? The earth, when we had the gigantic earthquake, shifted. I'm going to tell you something, people. The weather patterns are going to be extremely different. We know that now. At one time, the San Joaquin Valley was the ocean floor. We know that. Way back yonder, before the earth was divided, this was probably underwater. When God divided the earth, things changed. Okay? And the earth is in a lot of change right now. So, now, if you can you see how important it would be if you were going to try to find out what that was? It would be very important to go back to Greek, or Greek and Hebrew, and look and see, where did this come from? Every now and then I bring some little weird thing out like this to you, just to show how important languages are. Okay? Just to show you how important languages are. All right, you have any questions about that? Let's go to Romans 6 and 1. Romans 6 and 1. Now, there's some great, gigantic, great teaching in here. Every now and then I like to show you something like this to show you the value of languages. All right. Romans 6 and 1. Can anyone start off with that in Greek? Everybody can, because it looks just like English, doesn't it? What's it say? T. Un. Arumen. Epimenomen. Te. Amartia. Kina. He. Charis. And what's the last one? Pleonase. Pleonase. All right, let's look at this now. 1 Corinthians 16 and 8 and Romans 3, 5 and 8 and 6, 15 are all cross-references to this now. What? A little interrogative right there. T. What? Therefore, shall we say? Look at that word. That word comes from Lego, by the way. That's the root of it. Lego, it doesn't look like that at all in the word, does it? But that's where it comes from. It comes from where it's Lego. It's first person plural, future indicative active. What therefore shall we say? Epimenomen. We, may we continue? May we deliberately continue? Now let's look at this. First person plural present, subjunctive active. Look at that. See the subjunctive mode? Remember I told you, and when God created angels, when He created man, there is volition. What mode is that in? Subjunctive mode. That's may or may not be. May or may not be. All right, first person plural, present, subjunctive. This is, and it's deliberate here. All right. Shall we remain, continue in the sin? Can a child of God sin after he's been saved? I can attest to that. the Spirit cannot. The Spirit in you cannot sin. You can, as the New Testament says about old Lot. They call him Lot. That's his name, Lot. As it says about Lot, it says Lot vexed his righteous soul or spirit in him. He vexed it with his terrible, terrible surroundings. He vexed it, tortured the Spirit of God that was in him. All
that
right?
It's like walking in the flesh.
Yeah. He was walking in the flesh. And we wouldn't even know he was the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, wasn't he? And these were with his own daughters. Moabite means what? Or Moab. She was so proud of her child, she said, here is sperm from the father or water from the father. That's what she named him. Can you imagine? Weird. That's pretty weird, isn't it? But he was saved. He was a saved guy. It said, shall we continue deliberately on our own volition? May we do this? Yes, we can. We can act like Lot, can't we? But what happened to Lot? Look at Lot. What a mess. He liked the gravy train, didn't he? He liked to be around the big bright lights and the big wheels. He was a lawyer, first of all, he had a problem. He was a lawyer and he was a judge. in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he subjected his family because he liked the green grass on the other side of the fence. In the sin, hamartia, look at that. In order that, that's hina, heikaris. Look at that little word there. What? Now, we can look at heikaris and you can tell what gender it is. Right off the bat, very easily. Feminine gender, why? The definite article that is describing it is nominative, singular, feminine, isn't it? How do you say the articles in Greek? There's three of them. Toheristikon, arthron, and they are to, he, and to. Masculine, feminine, and neuter. Okay? Ho, he, to. Just say that. Ho, he, to. All right, you got it. In order that the grace, this feminine mercy, unmerited mercy, it may abound. Look at that. It may abound. Third person singular, first person, and subjunctive active. Subjunctive mode means what? It may or it may not. There's volition in that word. Okay? It comes from pleonazo. And what it means to abound here, it means to sail around. To sail around. Rebecca, do you have your amplified there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? 6:1. Let's see what the amplified has to say about this.
What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow?
All right. May it sail around and multiply and overflow. When we talk about somebody that's greedy, this is very beautiful in Greek. It means to sail around and grab everything in sight. What it means? To sail around and grab everything in sight. This, like the, what was the, they used to have a game a long time ago back in the 60s or 70s. Was a Cookie Monster game or something. And this thing, there was some kind of a thing that went around and ate everything. What was that? Sailing around and eating everything. It was a kind of a video game of some sort.
Pac-Man.
Okay, Pac-Man. All right, you got it. 6:2 now. Anybody know that first word? May. Genoito. Oitenes. Apathonomen. Te. Hamartia. Pos. Eti. Sesamen. In aute. All right. That first is a particle of negation, page 268, if you want to write that down. I don't even have it written down in mine. And then here's where we get the word Genesis from. Remember I told you that the books of the Old Testament were named from the Greek Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. If you look in the Hebrew, you'll see that it says Bereshit in there. There it is. I knew I had one someplace, Hebrew Bible. But the translation we have and the naming of the books of the Old Testament are from the Septuagint. You see how much the Septuagint had played on the history of the New Testament? When Jesus was walking this land, almost everything that he taught was from the Septuagint. Almost every time. Now and then you will hear him quoted as speaking Aramaic. And you'll hear him use Hebrew. And you'll hear him speak Talitha Kumei. That's Aramaic. And Talitha Kumei, and what does it mean? Made arise. All right? Made arise. Okay? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Psalm 22:1. When he quoted that one verse there, actually he meant the whole psalm applied. Okay? The whole psalm applied to it. That's Hebrew. Okay? On the cross of Calvary, we know that Pontius Pilate knew Hebrew, Greek, and Latin because he wrote in his own hand, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in Greek, and in Hebrew, and in Latin. All right? He wrote it with his own hand because the Greek says that, with his own hand. Okay? By the way, throw a little something extra in there for you. When the Jews went to Jesus after Jesus was crucified, and you know he washed his hands in front of them, he said, "I am guiltless of this man." You have demanded his death, not me. He said, five times I have declared him innocent, and you wanted him killed. Okay? And they said, we want a guard to guard his tomb because his disciples said that he would raise. He told them no. But on all the movies and everything, you see the Roman guards. You know what they were? They were temple Jewish guards. He said, you go back and do the best, take your own guards, and you do the best you can of guarding it. You take your own guards. They weren't Roman guards. Those were Jewish guards. Well, that's... Yeah. Well, they were the ones that were, you know, they were lying. They lied.
But they also went back to the chief priests.
Yeah, they went because they answered to the chief priest, didn't they? To the head priest.
If they'd have been Roman, they'd have gone to Pilate.
Yes, right. All right, not may it become, that word Genesis there, genoite, third person singular, secondary, indicative, middle voice, or optative, that is, middle voice, not indicative. Optative is a very, very rare mode, by the way. Look at that, optative, O-P-T, optative mode. It's not determined, but there's great hope of it happening. Okay? And it's middle voice. It's going to happen for itself. Okay? Not may it become. And then it's word. Then we have a little nominative plural relative pronoun. Who? Apothanomen. All right. Who died? First person plural, second aorist indicative active. Who died to the sin? All right. The ones, the whos that died to the sins. All right. The whos that died to the sins. Okay? We died to the sins. The ones who we died to the sins. First person plural, second aorist indicative active. To the sin. Look at that word now. To the said dative singular feminine. Sin is a feminine word, isn't it? Then we have a little adverb here. An enclitic particle adverbial word, which means how. How. How still... It's kind of asking the question, isn't it? How still, that little eti is an adverb of time, shall we live in her? Shall we live in her? First person plural, future indicative active. Shall we live in her? How can we do this? How can we live in her? Luke 20:16, Romans 6:15, 11. And 7 and 4 and 6 and Galatians 2:19, Colossians 2:20 and 3:3 and 1 Peter 2:24. All right, Rebecca, what does it say over there in the Amplified?
Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer?
All right, we're getting in some very beautiful things here. We're talking about dying to sin. Brother John, were you baptized a long time ago? A long time ago, wasn't it? All right? And you were baptized by immersion, weren't you? The only mode of baptism. We're going to talk about that tonight now. What does baptism teach? We're going to find out what it teaches in a few moments. All right, what's the next word there? It's not hey, but what? A. Agnoite. That's where our word agnostic comes from right there. All right? Hote. Hosoi, ebaptistamen. Actually, you just about swallow that epsilon in the front. It's baptiste, ebaptiste, okay? Ace, Christon, Esu, ace, ton, thonaton, out to, baptistamen. All right. Here we have a little correlative in the beginning there, that little A there. Or, ye ignorant, not knowing. All right, second person plural present, indicative active. That comes from gnosko and with an alpha, a negative on the front of it. Not knowing. That, are because. That word hoti there is that or because. It's a little conjunction. Hosoi means as many as were immersed, were buried, were dipped. Okay? First person plural, first aorist, indicative and passive mode there. Passive voice, that is. Passive voice. What's passive mean? Somebody's acting upon you, huh? You don't baptize yourself. You don't. You are baptized. Okay? You are baptized. You were dipped, baptized, baptizo. Now, let's look at a few words in Greek real quick. Get some of this off of there. We've got baptizo. Okay. Ron Tizo. And what's the other one? Three words that people use for baptism. Now, King James in 1611, when he came out with the King James Bible, they had a problem. They had about 50, they had 50 some odd different seminars, councils, when they were translating the King James Bible. One of the edicts that he gave them, one of these priests that were translating it, he says, do not translate anything that's going to be contrary to the doctrine of the Church of England. All right. The Church of England was sprinkling at this time. So they came up there and the scholar said, hey, Jim, what are we going to do without this word baptizo? If we translate it immerse, they're going to say the Baptists are right. Now, the King James Bible, in the beginning of the original King James Bible, it says, in the, what we call the epistolatory declaration or letter, it says that the reason for this is to stand against those people that hammer out their own translations on their own anvil and those popish people. So what was it talking about?
Catholics.
The Catholics and the Baptists. They translated that so they could keep the Catholics in the Church of England, to keep them from going to Catholicism. Catholicism didn't use the Bible at all. They didn't really care anything about the Bible. It was all dogma, all doctrine. Okay? Forget the Bible. It was against the law to even have one or read it. Okay? But the Baptists were preaching the Word of God. So to keep their people from going to the Baptists, they had to give them a Bible, but they wanted to flavor it with their doctrines. So when they came up to the word baptizo, they said, let's don't translate it at all. Let's just bring it over into English. And that way they won't know what it means. If sprinkling was true, they would have used the word rontizo, and it's got a rough reader on it. If the word pouring was the word that God wanted to use for baptism, it would have been nepto. But it was not nepto, and it wasn't rontizo, it was baptizo, which means dip. The Latin word is mergio. And, hold on just a minute. Our word immerse comes from the Latin immergio. Okay, now what about Jerome?
Well, Jerome in the Latin Vulgate, translated it as baptized. Because now we have a transliteration of that same word.
Yeah. I could have bought the.
So when you translate it from the Latin. Mm-hmm.
It was dipping. Okay, now where, when did sprinkling come on the scene? Did you know Henry VIII was baptized by immersion? He was baptized by immersion. Oh yeah, they baptized all babies by immersion. That's right. They drowned some of them, choked them, whatever. Okay, that's why they quit. They started sprinkling people because too many people, babies, you don't baptize babies, you baptize believers. Okay? But their whole idea was to keep everybody in the state church. The whole idea of all the Protestantism is a church state. The whole idea of the world is a church state. Even when America was founded, every state, every colony was a church state. You had to support the church, the state church, wherever you were. In Germany today, you support what? If you get married in the Lutheran church, you are going to take tithes out of your paycheck. They take them out of your paycheck. That's all. It's all over the world. That's the way it is. Church of England, whatever. You tithe. It's the state and the church are one. America, we had to have the Bill of Rights because it hadn't been really figured out yet. We had freedom of religion. All right, or be ignorant that as many as were dipped into Christ. All right, into Christ. Ace. What is the idea of ace, the grammatical rule of ace? Extension, what is it, Cindy?
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
Now let's look and see how should it be translated here. As many as were dipped because of Christ Jesus. Because of Him. First of all, it's because of. It's looking back. We're baptized because of what Jesus did. Was Jesus baptized? Yeah. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness. But what did His baptism represent? His death, burial, and resurrection. His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it typified. And so it had to be a burial, didn't it? I've seen pictures where they had Jesus out. John the Baptist had Jesus out there in the Jordan River and got a cup and poured water on His head. I'm going to tell you, that does not picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In no figment of your imagination. Baptized because of Christ. Because of what He did. And then let's look at it. Unto Christ Jesus. Now, Christ means what? The Anointed One. Comes from Creo. Jesus means what? Know what Jesus means? Jesus?
Jehovah.
It means Jehovah saves. The Messiah, Jehovah saves. Isn't that beautiful? The Messiah, Jehovah saves. And then we have the ace tone thonotone. Ace tone thonotone. Now, this, again, is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Ace here, what do you think that means? The idea of it. Now, are you baptized what? You're baptized into His death or because of His death or unto His death. Okay? Unto? Or because of the death of Him. You were dipped. First person plural, first aorist, indicative passive. Again, you didn't do it. You didn't baptize yourself. You were baptized. Okay? Matthew 28 and 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Someone go there. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Yeah, the Great Commission. Let's look at it. Let's see the order of baptism. You remember this one, Brother John? You remember Matthew 28, 19 and 20? That's a good one. All right. Cindy, do you have that there? You have it?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the
Father. Okay, hold on there just a little bit, because we already got off on the wrong foot.
Okay.
What translation is that?
Amplified.
Amplified Bible. Does Brother Randall... What is the command there? Is it to go?
It's to make disciples.
Make disciples is the command, so that's not the command. All, because Keith and James went out there and stuck their neck out and said, go ye therefore. That's not what it says. It says, after you've been gone out, after you've been cast out, because the church was going to be persecuted, wasn't it? And it was going to be driven out of Jerusalem. Okay? Driven out of Jerusalem. And after the church was driven out, what were they supposed to do? Make disciples. Mathetes. Mathetes means habitual learner. Make habitual learners. That's what you're supposed to do. Make habitual learners. And Cindy, as you've been kicked out, after you've been kicked out into the world, make disciples, is what it says. Okay, and then what do you do with them after you make them?
Baptizing them into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Baptizing them. You dip the disciples. You don't dip babies. You dip disciples. All right.
right? These are disciples. These are believers. Now you dip these believers into onomata. Or
aso.
My memory is, I was drunk almost all day yesterday. I had to go have a test, and they shot me up with Versed, and boy, I mean, tell you, that makes you drunk. It really, and makes you forget, too. I tell you what, it didn't bother me too much when I was having the test because of that. It says, having gone out, make disciples of all the ethne, the nations, baptizing them, aisto, ace, okay, ace. Look at that. Because of the name, because of the authority, that word onoma, aisto onoma, the word onoma there means authority. Now, there's another word in Greek for authority also, exousia, and we're going to see that one also. In the name of the patros, kai tu huyu, of the Son, the Heir, and of the hagio pneumatos, of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, 20, Cindy, what did it say in verse 20? You still there?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them to...
Okay, habitually teaching. That teaching them is also a command. Teaching them, you do this. Teaching, what we call didaskos. Didaskalos. Didasko, okay, teaching them. What's it say?
To observe everything that I have commanded.
Okay, that word observe there, it comes from the Greek word terrain. That's an infinitive. All right. To guard with their life. To guard with their lives. Panta hosa. All things that I have commanded to you, and behold, idu, ego, meth, himon, eni, pasa. And behold, I with you, I am always the days unto the completion of the age. There he promises that his church is going to be there when he comes back out, back forth too. The church is going to be here all the way through the church age. Okay? There we have that. Now Acts 2.38. Let's go Acts 2.38. Acts 2.38. Why are you baptized? All right, here is Peter's famous sermon. And by the way, how many preachers were on the scene right now? Boy, we had a mess of them. How many preachers are on the scene here? How many people are preaching around here? We have one recorded message here. How many preachers are preaching? Huh? 120 of them. 120 preachers are here in this place. And boy, I mean, they're preaching. That's why I said we have seen all these men preaching in our own languages. That's when God unconfused the languages right there. Right there at that place. It was confused there at Babylon. It was unconfused momentarily there on the day of Pentecost. All right, Pentecost means the 50th day. All right, it says here, it says in verse 30, having heard, they were stung down deep in their hearts. And said to them, they said to Peter, the ones remaining apostles and the apostles also, what may we do, men? Men, what may we do, brothers? And then Peter, now they're convicted down deep in their hearts. They're stung down, stabbed down deep in their hearts is what it says. What does it say there in the Amplified? Well, you're not there in Amplified, are you?
No, I can do it.
Okay, Acts 2.38. And Peter said to them, all of you, plural, all of you repent. All of you repent. Everyone repent. All, plural. All of you repent. And each of you that has repented, each of you that has repented, allow yourselves to be dipped upon the name, onomati, the authority of, Jesus Christ, ace athesin, By the way, that little word asaphase in there, that's the same word for scapegoat in the Old Testament in the Septuagint. Did you know that? You go back there, that's the... Who was Jesus? Now, the Seventh-day Adventist will tell you the scapegoat was not Jesus. Who will they say the scapegoat was? Huh? Satan. Lucifer. They say that only person that's going to go to hell is Lucifer, and he's going to go to hell and suffer eternal hell for all mankind. He's co-redeemer. You know that. That's absolute fact. Huh? Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? Jesus is the scapegoat, and he suffered for our sins, not Satan. Not Satan. Unto, it says here, Asaphasis. Because of, here again, because of the sending away of your sins. Now, all of them were commanded to repent. And then each one singular that has repented, allow yourselves to be dipped. All right? Because of the forgiveness of the sins of you, and you shall receive the derion to hagio pneumatos, the free gift, with no strings, of the Spirit Holy. Now, when these people repented, they were indwelt by the Spirit of God. From all the way from the Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament. Everybody that ever repented was indwelt by the Spirit of God. Period. The Spirit of God became an integral part of you, an inseparable part of you. Okay? No way could you ever lose your salvation in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, because Spirit God was what we call indelibly placed in you. Okay? Indelibly. All right? What happened on the day of Pentecost? What was different? Back in the Old Testament, and at the tabernacle there, Spirit God came down upon them and engulfed that whole thing and empowered it and possessed it, the tabernacle and all its furnishings. He immersed it and sanctified it right there. Now when Solomon built his temple, the temple for God, Shekinah glory, and who is the Shekinah glory of God? Jesus said, if I go away, he said, if I don't go away, I can't send the Spirit. He said, and what else? He said, Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, I'll be with you always. Now, how is he going to be with us? Now, we don't have three gods, remember. We have one God. How is Jesus going to be with all his churches today? By Shekinah glory in those churches. The Shekinah is still there in true New Testament church. There, when they dedicated the temple, Solomon's temple, the Shekinah glory engulfed that and immersed it. And then, now it already existed, by the way. The tabernacle was already built and in place when Shekinah glory came upon it and immersed it. The temple was already in place and built when the Shekinah glory immersed it. And they said they couldn't even minister for the cloud of his presence. And then on the day of Pentecost, and the Shekinah glory, remember the word Shekinah there, it has a cloud and fire. What did they see there at the day of Pentecost standing on the heads of these people? Flames as of fire. Like tongues or flames of fire. Okay? So what do we have there on the day of Pentecost? We have the ecclesia that's already in existence. We have it there, and it's being immersed in Spirit God to lead it into what? All truth. They didn't have the New Testament yet, did they? So that church needed the inspiration. They needed to be inspired right there. Okay? And at that time, how many church gifts were there? What was the first gift placed in the church? What was the first gift?
The apostles.
The apostleship is a gift. Every one of those, and the apostles, by the way, most of the apostles, we have a large part of the New Testament written by apostles only. Okay. All right. What other?
What other gifts did they have? The gifts of healing?
Yeah,
the sign gifts. These were signs to unbelievers, okay? They were sign gifts. They were signs to that this church was actually empowered by Jesus to go out and do these things. They had the gift of healing. What else did they have? They could speak in a language without having learned it they could go into some place and speak in that language without ever having learned it. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the confusion of languages was completely reversed at that moment. They heard everybody speaking. This is what just flabbergasted them. All these people were speaking in their own dialects. All 120 of them were hearing every one of them speak in their own specific dialect. That was a miracle. The miracle that way is that they heard them speaking. But then, as the gift of languages, when they went out in the areas after that, those church members went out, they could speak into some area if they didn't know the language. They could speak to them in their own dialects. Okay? Well, apostles was a gift. Pastors was a gift right there. Pastors. Teachers was a gift. These were all. Now, why did they have to be a gift? They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a Bible. So God would inspire them on the spot of what to say. Evangelists. They were inspired. The evangelists would go out and evangelize. Okay?
Prophets.
Yeah, prophets. Prophets. That's how they got the Bible. Prophecy. All right, 6 and 4. 6 and 4. Are you learning something in this? All right. Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16-19 and verse 5, Galatians 3:27. These are all cross-references to the last one. And 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. 6 and verse 4. Synetophamen. Now, see, I didn't ask you to say that word. Un. Auto. Dia. Two. Baptismatos. Okay, now the next one. Ace. Ton. Thonaton. Hina. Hosteter. Ergeithe. Christos. Ek. Necron, dia, tes, doxes, tu. Patros, putos, kai, hemes, en, koino, tetal, teti. Zoes, peripa, tesomen. Okay. We were buried. First person plural, second aorist, indicative passive voice. We were dipped. All of us were dipped. Buried. All right. We were all buried. Now, someone who can look up King Jim real quick. King James. Are you? Romans 6 and 4. Romans 6 and 4. Let's look at it. 6 and 4. That's right. Where were we here? Cindy, are you have it already? Well,
yes,
what's it say?
I have it.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism unto death.
You know what? Those King James really know how to translate the word baptized, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh, they only did it when they wanted to. All right, so they really knew what buried and baptized was. We were buried, we were immersed. That's what it is. We were buried with him. Seen, thought, told. All right. We were buried, therefore, in him, or with him. All right. Through what? The dipping, or baptism. The burial. We were dipped with him. We were immersed with him. We were buried with him in the dipping. Because of the death, or into the death, or because of the death, wouldn't it? It would be because of there again, wouldn't it? Ace. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Because of the death. In order that, and this is a word, funny word, it's asli.
asly. As here, but it's an adverb. So it's asly. Adverb is something that's active, isn't it? In order that asly, all right, in the same way, in the same manner, host Terry and A, he was raised up, or was he was raised up, look at that word, egerthe. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, passive. This is kind of an unusual thing. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He raised himself. The Father raised him, and the Spirit, the eternal Spirit, raised him. So whichever way you do it, by the way, middle and passive voice are interchangeable many times. Just think about that now. He was raised up by himself, or he raised himself up. He was raised up, passive voice. The eternal Spirit and the Father raised him up, but in reality, he raised himself up. You couldn't hold him down. Couldn't hold him down. Raised up Christ. Look at that word. Nominative singular mass. Christos. Christos. Out of dead ones. Out of the dead ones. By the agency of the glory of the Father. In this same way, also, Houtos is in this same manner or in this same way. Also, we, himes, nominative plural, first person pronoun, we, in newness, and kainoteti, in newness. Kaine, that means new. All right? In the newness of life, living. Living, we should walk about. We should walk about. And why is it should? Why is it should? We should walk about. It is first person plural, first aorist, subjunctive. Look at that word, subjunctive, because why? God leaves it up to you. You may or you may not. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the Bible in Greek and Hebrew will straighten out your theology. It will do it to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. 6 and verse 5. You want to do 6 and 5? All right. Agar. Symphitoi. Gegonomen. To. Homoimati. To. Thonitu. Altu. Alla. Kai. Tais. Anastasios. Esomata. All right. Since we are united with, planted with. Have you ever gone out and planted a garden? Anybody ever planted a garden? Did you ever do that, Rebecca? You planted a garden?
Yep.
Okay. Plant turnips. You can plant, like turnips. Yep. All right. Onions, carrots, all these little things, and they come up together, don't they? When you plant them, they come up together. Have the idea. Now, when we're buried with Christ, what happens? We're raised with Him. When you're planted, when you plant a seed in the ground, it doesn't stay there. It rises up. Rises up. Anastasia. We were united it and raised up and carried up. We have become, first person plural, second perfect. Look at that. Second perfect, indicative, active. In the likeness, in the similitude, in the assimilation, in the likeness, resemblance. That's what all's in this word. It comes from homeos, homeoma, likeness. Page 288, by the way. Homeos, likewisely. Homeosis, adjective, in like manner. of the death. We are planted in baptism, aren't we? We're planted in baptism, and it's showing the world. In your heart, you already have Spirit God. You already sealed with Spirit God in your heart. But when you openly ask a church to baptize you, and you go out and you're physically buried in water, and you're raised back up, you're putting Christ on publicly. You're baptized in the likeness of the death of Him. The reason why you're baptized is baptism itself. In the Old Testament, the Jews baptized people. Did you know that? They say that Abraham baptized all of his slaves. He circumcised all the males that belonged to him, and he also baptized all of them. The Jews have, even to this day, in some societies, in Jewish societies, a woman, after she has her monthly time, they will take her and they will baptize her, dip her 12 times. One for each tribe of the nation of Israel. Dip her 12 times. All right? All the proselytes. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, He was telling Nicodemus some things that he should have known. Because Nicodemus had baptized many proselytes. They baptized them, and it was like a baby being baptized and born anew. That's what they call it, being born again. Because you died to your old ethnic background, and you were raised anew to a brand new unity, to a brand new, they were a child of Israel now, a child of God, a child of Israel. They were God's administrators from that time on. They were in a different ethnic background now. They were united with all of those of Israel. They died to their old ethnic backgrounds. Now they would take those people and they would scrub them real good, and they would shave off all of their hair and eyebrows, clip all their fingernails back, and they would come out looking like a brand new baby. And they would die to their old ethnic background and be raised into newness of life, into a brand new nation. And that's what they call being born again. And Jesus told him that you must be born again. You've been telling all these Gentiles that they needed to be born again. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Ooh, what a slap in the face. He said, you, a master teacher is what he called him. You're a master teacher of Israel and you don't know these simple things? He said, you need to be born again. You need to be baptized. You need to die to this old background, this old rabbinical movement, the Phariseeism that you have. God didn't invent Phariseeism. He didn't invent that. He didn't invent all those laws and things that they had. For if we are united with Him, buried with Him, and planted with Him, we also will be carried along and we'll come up and we'll sprout. We become in the likeness of the death of Him. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. You couldn't held Him down at all. He was put in a grave, in a tomb. But He came, He rose. In the death of Him, but strong adversative conjunctive. Conjunction, page 15, if you want to look up all of there. Also, in the standing up, in the resurrection. Jesus in the resurrection. Acts 17 and verse 18. Let's go there real quick. Somewhere. Acts 17, 18. Who's got that? We've got to look at this real quick. We're running over a little bit. Is that all right? I'd like to get this in on this. Acts 4:2, Acts 17, 22 through 34, and Acts 17 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and 10, Philippians 3, 10 and 11, Colossians 2, 12 and 3, 1, 1 Peter 1 and 3, Matthew 27, 53, and Job 19, 25, 26 and 27, and Isaiah 26, 19. All right, let's go look at this. Rebecca, have you got it?
18.
Uh-huh.
Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection."
All right. Now, in the ancient world, they had gods and goddesses, didn't they? All right. Jesus is, Jesus is a masculine word. Anastasia is a feminine word. They thought they were talking about this god and his mistress or his wife, Anastasia, or Anastasia, as we see it in Russian today, Anastasia. Anastasia means resurrection. So they thought that he was talking about Jesus and his companion goddess. And then when they found out he was talking about, from verse 22 through 34, when they found out he was talking about the resurrection from the dead, they said, man, this is crazy. Nobody, you die, you're dead. All right, but he really knew what he's talking about. And in the Old Testament, does the Old Testament teach the resurrection? Does it talk about the resurrection, the Anastasia?
Yeah.
If you... All right, in Job 19:25 through 27, who's got Job? 19:25 through 27. And then Isaiah 26 and verse 19. And we're going to read that from the Septuagint. Yeah, well, let's go there.
Okay,
Job 19:25 through 27. Who's got it? Cindy, you over there? 25 through 27. Job 19:25 through 27. All right, now he's going to stand on his feet one of these days, and with his own eyeballs, he's going to see his Savior. All right, there's another verse even better than that, and that's Isaiah 26 and verse 19. And let me tell you what it says here. Isaiah 26 and verse 19. It says, Anastasonte. Now, in the New Testament lexicon, on page 25, it tells you what that means. All right? And in the Septuagint lexicon, on page 39, it'll say a third person to or future indicative, middle, a passive. All right? And shall raise up the dead, and shall be raised the ones out of the graves, and shall be glad the ones in the earth, for the dew is a cure to them, it is, and in the land of the impious shall fall, stay down. All right? Anastasonte, that is the word for resurrection, Anastasia. There it is, right in the Septuagint. That's a resurrection.
And David said he would see his child again.
Yes, he will see his child again. I will not, he cannot come back to me, but I shall go to him. All right? And he did that. He would go to him in paradise. But we're talking about the resurrection now. Now, we did, when before the cross of Christ, they would go to paradise. They would go to Abraham's bosom. After that, paradise was taken to the third heaven. And then Sheol was separated from that. Okay? But he's talking about the resurrection here in Isaiah.
Is that where the Catholics get purgatory from?
That's a total invention. I'll tell you why the Catholics invented purgatory. I can even tell you the year they invented purgatory. But they invented purgatory to get money. They were building St. Peter's. Yeah, they were building that, okay? Let's go on a little bit further. The resurrection. But also the resurrection we shall be. Cindy. Over there in the Amplified Bible, 6 and 4 and 5. Can you read that for me, please?
We were buried, therefore, with with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. For if we have become one with him by sharing death like a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God.
All right, there you have it. Beautiful, beautiful verses today. There was a lot in those, but I wanted to also show you this other little thing about how important biblical language is. Because I tell you what, you can get out there on the deep end, especially when you start trying to witness to people. And make sure that you're standing on a firm foundation and then stand. But go look at it in the original language when you're doing something. Don't go to 1 John 5 and 7 and try to teach a Jehovah's Witness that there's a Trinity. Not from that verse, because it isn't there. All right? All right. Are you ready to go out on and go out and do something eternal? All right? Ready? All right. Lowell, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us and empowers us to carry out